Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I'm super glad to be here this morning. It's always a privilege. This is, I would call this really honestly one of my home churches because it was a place where I got baptized and I accepted the Lord and Savior as Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. So it's just really home to me. I know all y'all very well, so I'm super excited to be here. Thankful the Lord's given us some rain, so glad for that. And yeah, just glad to get started with the message this morning. Well, this morning in Sunday school, we're going to be in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. This is a familiar passage that all y'all is going to know. Everybody knows everything about Samson. Even there's a lot of people out there who don't go to church, who may have never even attended a Sunday school or a church service in their life, but they somehow heard about stories like Samson or David and Goliath. They've heard all these big stories, but this morning in Sunday school, I kind of want to touch on something that really spoke to me when I was reading this, and the Lord spoke to me about it, and I pray the same can be done to y'all. But it's about an individual who really doesn't get taught much about, and even going into my message this morning when we get done with Sunday school, it's going to be about an individual that don't get taught much about. I think we as Christians sometimes read these big stories and we overlook these smaller people. And they mean so much, and they just do so much for us as we dive into deeper of what they truly do. So Judges chapter 16, we're going to be reading verses 21 through 31 this morning, 21 through 31. We'll start reading verse 21. It says, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes," talking about Samson here. This is after he had been captured by the Philistines, "and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with the fetters of brass, and he did grind in a prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Those that may not know, Samson lived to be a great man, a very good stature, and his strength was in his hair. And at this point, Delilah, he had done fell into the hands of her, and she had done cut off his hair, and that's how the Philistines were able to grab him and capture him in this prison house so far. So again, "howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Verse 23, "Then the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, to rejoice. And they said, 'Oh, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.'" Not really particular on the subject of what I want to preach about, but just kind of an interesting topic I want you all to see there. It says, Dagon, their god. We notice that G is lowercase because that god is false. Our God is risen. Our God is our Savior. He is a capital G. So just, you see that any time in your Bible, know that a lowercase G is a false god. Verse 24, it says, "And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God had delivered into our hands our enemy and destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, 'Call for Samson, he may make us sport, to make fun of him.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport and set them between the pillars." And Samson, here's the key part I want you to focus in on this morning. It says, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women, that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only for this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.'" I'm going to read a couple more verses here, but I kind of want to point out that, you know, Samson was this great hero, and he was. He was an awesome, great hero figure of the Bible. But one thing that Samson lacked in, he always just seemed like he wanted revenge. Even we see his last true request to God was just revenge. Like, "I want to avenge me for my eyes." It wasn't even about, like, Samson. It's like, God does so much for you, but the last thing you're going to ask for is strength just to avenge your own eyes. You know, it's like we think about things like that. That just kind of just brought out to me. But anyway, verse 29, it says, "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, one with his right hand and one with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines,' and he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew, the death were more than they which he slew in his life." And the last verse here, "Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Merna his father, and judged Israel 20 years. So again, when we read this story of Samson, we sometimes a lot think about just Samson himself. But we somehow just, I know I do, we just mistaken this one verse where it talked about this lad, this one lad. And we can tell this was a young man. It's only mentioned once in the entire Bible. Just this one little spot. He's only mentioned one time. But he's leading Samson by the hand after he was caught and blinded. Now, a lot of people say it would say lad, and they would think, you know, a really young kid or something. But a young kid's not going to be leading Samson by the hand like this. It's mentioned several times in the Bible about a lad, and we see that even in a few chapters, a few books beforehand, it talks about a young lad somewhere between the ages of 13 and 19. This was a teenage boy here that was leading a great hero by the hand. My thought this morning is that this young man was so close to a man who knew God, but yet he died with the Philistines. That he died with the people who knew not the real God. And so this morning I kind of want to speak on a topic in Sunday school of going to hell holding the hand of a hero. Going to hell holding the hand of a hero. It really is a true sad thing when we think about it. But he was holding the hand of a hero, but he was not following the God of this hero. And I don't know, this message just kind of brought out to me because it's like we overlook this young lad, like, and really it's kind of just a sad reality. You know, he's there with a person who's done some bad things in his life. Samson has made some mistakes. We all Christians have made some mistakes. But he was still serving a God who, you know, even if Samson was to pass away or something happens, like this is a true God. But here's this young kid here who's so close to a person who knows the true God, yet he's lost his, what my pastor would say, a goose in a snowstorm. But I want to kind of apply this to our lives. It's like we see this because we have so many people in today's world who are so close to godly people, yet they just don't want to accept the Lord as their Savior. That they go to church. They may even talk to God, but they don't truly know God as their personal Savior. And we see that a lot, and it really is a sad story. And when I was reading this, that kind of just caught me off guard. I'm like, man, that's so true. And the Lord's been laying this on my heart. Again, it becomes a picture of many people today. People who grow up around church, godly parents, faithful grandparents. Maybe even some people in here have, you've been faithful to God, you've been true to God. But there's been some times in your life where maybe your own kids or people that you know, that you may even see parents who've been faithful. And their kids just decide to just neglect God daily. And it truly is a sad thing. But again, I'll get more, and I don't want to give most of my message away today. But that's why it's very key that we as parents are like, y'all as parents, you know, keep your kids in church. Get them there. You know, let them see your fruits that you're bearing. And then from there, God's going to do the rest. Because even though there are some kids and children, even people that are so close, their parents are so close to God, and they're so far away from God, and they go off, we still have that one verse that remains in our Bible that remains true to me. It's like, train a child up in the way that he should be, and he will not depart from it. So even through all that things of, you know, being so close to somebody that's godly, we still have that hope that, you know, even if they're far off right now, God still tells us, just give time. You know, let what your fruit produce work. And it will. Eventually it will work. But my main point today from this morning is being close to saved people does not make you saved. I think a lot of people also get confused. Like, well, you know what? Hey, my grandma's prayed for me. You know, I'm going to be good. I'm fine. I ain't got to do anything else to get saved. I'm good. I got people praying for me. I got a religious family, religious church. I'm good. I can just show up, listen, and I'm good to go. That's just not the case. We got to accept Jesus into our heart. We got to live a life daily. And even it goes farther under that. We got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I think there's sometimes, and really it's a true sad situation again. I think sometimes people just kind of come down here and maybe, you know, talk to God and they think they're good. But I think really in some reality, some people just have an encounter. They just have an encounter. It's not really a true personal acceptance of Jesus in their life. Because if it was, then their life outside would dictate that and it would show that. And you know, we see that a lot this morning. But I again, this is just kind of just something that laid on me about this young man. And there's just three real quick reasons. It's nothing really a lot. I don't want to give too much more my message away this morning about what I'm going to go into. But it's just real three quick reasons of what I thought the Lord's laid on my heart about this young lad and how we can learn from these things and the things that he'd done that maybe that we could learn not to do and so forth. But reason number one this morning was he thought that he had plenty of time. I look at this and I see this young lad. And if it's like most people my age today, even me when I was a little kid before I even got saved, it's like, man, we think sometimes we got plenty of time. You know, I think a lot of teenagers today, they go to church and they hear the Word of God and they see their family doing the right thing. They see all these, you know, people doing the right thing. But they think, well, you know what, I can soon experience that too, but just not right now. I think I want to do what I want to do. And then I got plenty of time to get right with God later. You know, but that's just not the case because we're not always promised tomorrow. There are so many verses in the Bible that we can read and go through, and I have a couple listed out here that I'll mention later on that, you know, life is quick. We're not promised our next breath. I'm not even promised to walk my next step. You know, Jesus, I mean, makes that obvious in very many cases of the Bible. But I think this young lad personally thought that he had plenty of time. Even if I know this young lad wasn't even serving the right God, he was serving the wrong God, but even if he somehow had the encounter of, like, okay, well, maybe I am in the wrong. Maybe I am serving the wrong God. Maybe just maybe this guy here is serving the right God. But even if that is true, I still got time. I'm young. I'll figure it out later. I got plenty. If my parents, they're old, they'll tell me if something happened. Like, I got plenty of time. But, you know, little did he know, in the next, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, that whole place was going to come down. And now, did he accept, did he do something different in that time between, I don't know, but from we can see from the things that happened, probably not. And it truly is a sad situation that sometimes in life, a lot of that goes on. There's a lot of people who literally get in their car every day thinking they're going to have plenty of time to do right with things of the Lord, and car accident, while something happens. And it truly is a sad situation in this aspect, and we see that here with this young lad. But again, from that, a lot of young people think that, you know, they'll sort out things with God later. And there's even some older people think that, you know, I got a few more years left in me. I got a few more opportunities to get right with God. Then, you know, just things just happen. And here's one of those verses that I was kind of just mentioning on James chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away." Meaning that life is short and uncertain. Even James compared life to a vapor. And speaking on that subject, even me as a little kid, and I've spoken on this before at, you know, one of my other churches, it's like, as a little kid, even now sometimes, you know, it's like life, I'm just ready for just school to be over. Even now, I'm ready for college to be over. I'm ready to get done and let it be over with. When I was in school, I was ready for summer break, man. Summer break, please let it be here. Christmas cannot get here quick enough. But even now, I realize it's like, we look back and it's like, where did the time go? It was like a vapor. It seems like the other day I was literally, you know, I don't know, just getting ready for my senior year, and here I am about to graduate college and getting ready to start life, that I'm like completely nervous as I can be about it. Because I got so much coming up, wedding, so much to prepare for, and I pray to God every day, please, Lord, let me follow your will and do the right thing. And it's like, boom, it's here. Like, it's here. And it was a vapor. And that verse is so true, and a verse that I always keep dear to my heart. Because we're not promised tomorrow. It's time is so quick. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again, tomorrow is not promised. And I think that's a verse to a lot of people who go around saying the same thing every day. Well, I'll just get right later. My time's plenty of time. I'll get right later. But that verse is so true. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow," because you don't know if there'll even be a tomorrow. We don't know that. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. I want to mention just this morning real quick on another person that thought that they had plenty of time, that they thought they had just all the time in the world. But Jesus corrected them very quickly. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. This is a lesson here, a teaching that Jesus taught on covetousness and not hoarding things for so long, again, because you may not know what the next day may bring forth. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 says here, "And one of the company said unto him," talking about Jesus, "Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them." This is the parable I want to speak on. It says, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful." Means he had everything you could probably think of. Very rich. "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, This is what I'll do. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine, eat, drink, and be merry." And catch this, what God says. "And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall be of those things which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and not rich towards God." So he's saying here, this rich man saying, you know what, hey, I got all this stuff in the world. I'm going to build barns. I'm going to build all kinds of stuff. And then he said, my soul, I'm going to take it with me. It's going to go with me. And then God says, thou fool, because he says, thy soul is to be required of thee. Man, you can't take all this stuff with you. So kind of what he's saying there is meaning is like, you know what, even after life, I'm going to have all my things. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I got so much to look forward to. I got so much stuff left. So much of this stuff is mine. Even if I do die, it's all going to come with me. But God said, that's a fool way of thinking about it. It's a fool because we're not promised tomorrow. We're to be watchful, to be careful, not be boastful. This guy here was so boastful. This rich man was so boastful. And I think the real main message of this parable, Jesus was talking about, you know, don't covet anything because covetousness can cause you so much pain. You can't take it with you. But another thing I want to pull out of is like, yeah, again, we're not promised tomorrow. There are so many things that we can try to promise ourselves and try to do, but the one thing we can't promise is time. You know, nobody knows what could happen. And again, we see this from this young lad. I just don't think he knew the time, amount of time that he had left. Because in the next few minutes, that was his life. There's nothing but a vapor. So my lesson is, for this point, is people often live as time is just guaranteed. But Scripture reminds us that it can just be here and it can be gone. But not only did he think he had plenty of time this morning, but I also thought, for my reason number two, is that he thought it was funny. Not only do you think he had plenty of time, but he thought it was funny. The reason I kind of get my thing from this, it says in verse 25, it says, and it came to pass when their hearts, and back in Judges chapter 16, verse 25, and their hearts to be merry, and they said, call for Samson that we may make a sport. They thought it was funny. They just wanted Samson to make sport. They just wanted entertainment. Point that the Lord just kind of spoke to me right now is there are a lot of people who are just going to make fun of you. They're going to think that the walk you do is just funny. You know, I really should delete it because it makes me mad when I look at things like this. But you go through Facebook and scroll, and it's the only social media app I have. I don't believe none of that TikTok and all that mess. I really just got Facebook to keep up my pressure washing business. But scroll through there and you see these things, and you may see somebody posting, you know, a quote that says, you know, Jesus is risen. There'll just be just some things like that. The comments, guys, are just like, it's crazy. It's just terrible. They just laugh and mock. And man, it's really just unbelieving what people actually believe. Like, you know, I'll see quotes going through there, and it'll be Pride Month or whatever, you know, this month. And there'll be somebody in the comments that'll say, you know what, I'm praying for y'all. Jesus is King. Pride Month is not right, stuff like that. And the comments from that is like hate, hate, hate. It's like, oh my, your God is false. You know, I wish nothing but the worst on you. It's like, man, there's people that just think that, and there's all kinds of like 6,000 something laughs about it. People just think this stuff is funny. That this God stuff is just funny. And the main thing is that people that think it's funny, they don't even serve a God themselves. They just think we're just floating around here like, where'd we come from? You know, they don't know anything. They just think that everything that we believe in is funny. There'll be people that want to cut you down. There's people that are literally out to cut you down. There are people that are watching you every day. If you make the wrong move, oh, this person done this. They're a Christian. They're not supposed to do this. They'll cut you down just because they think it's funny and they don't really care because it don't apply to them. And it's sad. But again, the Philistines were making sport of Samson. They were laughing while standing on the seat of judgment and didn't even know it. I kind of just think about all those that laughed and mocked our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. You know, they pulled his beard, spit in his face. They mocked him because they thought it was funny. They did. They just thought that this stuff was fake and funny, and they didn't care. And little did they know this was the Lord and Savior of the entire world. And same thing here. They didn't take Samson seriously. This young lad was right there with him. He was right there with the rest of the Philistines. He wasn't taking God seriously. He wasn't taking his eternal seriously. You know, it doesn't just necessarily say that he was making sport himself, but he was right there with him. I can imagine this young kid was just mainly, as get toward my message this morning, but he was kind of just falling into what the older people were doing. He was watching, oh, these older Philistines, like, man, that's cool. I want to be like them. I'm making fun of this guy. Yeah, I like that. And they're just making fun of him, not even caring what the next day will bring. And that's why, again, it's very crucial, if I can bring into a reality perspective, it's very crucial that us as parents, that we take God very seriously. Because we have a lot of kids and people that are looking up to us and things are looking up to us. And just like this kid here, he was looking at these Philistines, and yet they were leading him down the wrong path. It's very, very heartbreaking this morning that there are a lot of people out there who are leading their own kids down just a path of hell and unrighteousness. And what are they to expect because they look up to their father or their dad or their mother or their figure in their life who's their everything, and they're following right along with that. And that's what this young lad was doing. He thought it was funny. They thought it was funny. They were just making sport. Again, we can apply this to modern church life. There are people who even sit through sermons and hear truths about warnings and God's invitations of things that are going to happen, and yet they take none of it seriously. That they sit there, there's people in church today that sit there in church pews and they're like, he ain't talking to me. I got everything figured out. This is right. He ain't. I'm good. This is crazy talk right here. And there are people that do that. There are churches torn over the fact that there are people doing that. I mean, it's crazy how I see so much, and I really see it more in Auburn than anything. You see so many just laughter and things going on with people just, like you see posts on Facebook around Auburn and things of this nature. You'll see people out, you know, proclaiming the name of God on Auburn streets, and there'll be people to walk by and just laugh and just think that's just a waste of his time. He don't need to be doing that. And it's really just sad that there's people out there that do that. If anything, they can just keep their mouth shut and not say anything about us Christians and anything, but yet they got to just cut us down. But in reality, as much as I want to be upset and mad and angry about that, we just got to pray for them, because they may just be like this young lad here, raised up around people who laughed and mocked at God their whole life. And they may have not been taught no better. So I would just pray for them. Pray for them and pray they just get right with God before it's too late. But again, some laugh and some ignored, and people outside of church laugh. But one day eternity becomes real, and what used to be funny becomes very frightening. I think about all these people that are doing this laughing and mocking and stuff, and I pray for them, because the last thing I want to wish upon any enemy in the entire world that I may have, my worst enemy, even those that are even sitting in church and thinking they're right with God, but again, not really right with God, the last thing I want for anybody here is, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. And at that point, it becomes, Lord, okay, it's real, I understand, it's not funny no more, but it's too late. Those people, I mean, this is just some stuff they just say just to make us scared or whatever. Like, no, this is real. It's not funny. And then that happens, and it really is a truly sad thing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "Be not deceived, because God is not mocked." One thing I think about it is, even in the end, God's justice will reign no matter what. So they laugh, they scorn, you know, don't get mad, don't get angry. Pray for them, because God will have his way. God will see things through. And wherever that may be is his concern. It's his judgment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says this. This is a verse that really sticks to me, because it can be scary if you're not right with God. It says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Very fearful thing. Now, as Christians, we are to fear God. We are to, you know, be fearful that God is almighty. He can strike you dead in an instant. God can do whatever he wants to, because he's powerful. But God is not a just mean God. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. You hear the rain? We got some rain. But God is not a God who's just, he's an awesome God. He's a living God. He's a careful God. He's a loving God. But the main thing is he is a just God. And so you treat his Christians and mock them and scorn them and make fun of them, well, you know, at the end of the day, God's going to have the last laugh. At the end of the day, you know, and it truly is a sad thing. It is. It's sad. But this young lad here was making sport, was laughing. When it comes for us believers, are we going to change to gain the world's appeal, or are we going to remain faithful to God? So kind of what I want to move into that is, there's a lot of also Christians who get influenced by these people who are laughing and doing these things of God. They see this as like, yeah, you know what? I think you're right. It's just, man, God really hasn't been there for me lately, and it's just been bad. Yeah, I mean, it probably is all just my parents told me this growing up, so it probably is just a hoax and all that, you know. But the sad thing is there's people that even do that they get brought into. They were once raised in church, and then they move away from God, and then they begin to becoming part of the things who also thinks is funny. And that's true, is that I think we as Christians ought to be called to not only go farther away from God, but to get closer to God, to be an example for God, to be examples for those that may be out there trying to laugh and scorn and do these things to us. So no matter what, Jesus is coming back, whether people are ready or not. Jesus is coming. And the times we see now is only showing more proof of that. day by day we see just living in a world of Sodom and Gomorrah, living in a world of just pure hell, and it's just like, you know, all these people, again, they're just thinking it's funny. They don't care. They could really just care less. But we as Christians see the true meaning of what that means and why Jesus is coming back soon. Whether they're ready or not, whether we're ready or not, Jesus is coming, and we need to be prepared. We need to pray for these people. We need to help get them right, get them following on to Jesus. I guarantee you, if this, you know, young lad right here even had just people praying for him, people looking out for him, that he would be in the right spot. But the thing is, he was so compacted in a world full of wickedness with all the Philistines. Nobody in there was talking about God. Nobody was talking about the true king, the true God. They're all focused on their false God, their Dagon God. And we see that too in a lot of lives today, and it truly is sad that there's a lot of kids that grow up in a family who are serving God, but it's the wrong God. They're serving false gods. They're serving gods of wickedness and evil and unrighteousness. And, you know, again, that's why it's so keen. I applaud all you parents who are getting your children in church, serving the one true risen Savior. That's why I appreciate, if my parents did nothing else for me in my entire life, I don't care if they helped me to be the best race car driver there was, they helped me to be the best whatever. If anything they did for me was they put me in church under the hands of God and let Him do the rest. And for that, that's the best thing they could do for me. There's nothing else that's even better for that, and there never will be. So I pray for your parent. Continue to keep doing that. Continue to pray for your kids. So again, not only did he think he had plenty of time, he thought it was funny, but for my third reason, he also thought the servant was fake. He thought the servant was fake. He thought Samson was fake. I imagine this young man was kind of sitting here thinking to himself, looking at Samson, holding him by the hand, leading him out, and seeing a bound prisoner, a defeated man, a man who clearly had kind of failed God. And, you know, I feel like, too, if Samson wasn't just, if they didn't think Samson was fake, if they didn't think Samson was going to do anything, I don't think they would have let a young lad even lead him out in the first place. They would have some kind of big old just grown man lead him out, saying, well, Samson still got power. We got to watch out. We got to be careful for him. But now they say, he's fake. He's defeated. He's useless. But that young 14-year-old go do it. It's fine. He can handle it. It's just fine. They thought he was fake. That little young lad thought he was fake. I can imagine him saying, this is the great Samson. This is the hero that everybody was talking about that's bound here, bond. He looks like a truck ran over him. This guy can't be it. He's got to be fake. He must be fake. And honestly, through all this, Samson would probably give them plenty of reasons to think that he was fake. He'd failed God many times. He picked his own lust of things over what God really wanted for him. He made a lot of mistakes. We as Christians sometimes make a lot of mistakes. And again, it goes back to people are watching you. People are keeping their eye on you. But the one thing Samson didn't do, he had sinned. He had fallen. He had been inconsistent. But he still served an almighty God. He still talked with God. Even though his last request was a quest I thought was kind of just still for his own, you know, benefit, he still talked with an almighty God. He still had that relationship with God. And that's more than that young lad had. That's more than the Philistines had. He still had that relationship. But they just thought he was fake. Many people this morning have rejected Christianity because of hypocrisy they saw in somebody else claiming to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe how many young people have watched parents praise God at church and then live completely different at home. So this just kind of goes into, again, people are watching you. Don't give them a reason to think you're fake. Don't give them a reason to think that you don't serve God. Don't go to church. You know, I see a lot of, and I've seen it in families that are close to me. You go to church and you see them with them, they got their hands up and they're praising God. And then we get in the car to go home, and it's like they're already arguing. And it's like we're here praising God, and now we get out of the car, you just hear just a beautiful sermon, and now you're already back arguing with each other and just not communing with God. Like everything you sat in church, you just go through one ear and out the other. And I think even that day, it was like a sermon on marriage. So I'm like, everything had to just kind of just go right out. But again, you got people that are watching you, kids that are watching you. These young kids that are watching their fathers or mothers grow up and go and praise God at church. Don't go back home and give them something to look at that's just ungodly. Don't go back home and give them something that's fake, because they're going to think, oh, Christianity is just fake. And that's where a lot of kids grow up and think that things are funny. That's how they don't take it seriously, because, oh, well, mom and dad's doing this at church. They go home and do this. It must not be that serious, because it doesn't really matter. It's probably just fake. It's just something to have to do on Sundays, probably. But that's truly not the case. We should live just like we live at church, go live the same way the rest of the week. You can't just, you know, serve God on Sunday and then live like hell the rest of the week. That's just, that doesn't how that works, and it will never be how that works, because again, people will just think that you're fake. So don't get, now, I don't want to get that confused. There'll be a lot of people that's going to be watching you, and you're going to mess up, you're going to make mistakes, and people are going to neglect you for that anyway. But you just keep serving God, and you keep doing the right thing. But just don't give them a reason to just be out and do it on purpose because you know it's wrong. Don't get out of church and go to the bar on the weekends and drink just because you can or you want to. I'm just saying that sometimes we may fail, and we'll get back up, and we'll keep praising God. But don't give them a reason to keep thinking that this person's just fake. I know we aren't perfect, we never will be, but Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 kind of summed up here, says this right here, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, a pattern. People should consistently see our message through our lives. Every day people should see that, hey, you know what, that person fell. You know, they had some trouble, they had some death in their family, they had some things happen, they had some, man, they may have messed up. But look, they're back in church, they're serving God, and I've seen the fruits they're bearing. They've got back right with God. They've done the right thing. They didn't give a reason to quit, and I have no reason to think that they're fake. They're a true Christian because they got back right with God. And that's true that we should be like. We're going to fall, and we fall, we get right back up. We keep praising God. We keep doing the wrong thing. I mean, the right thing, and we don't do the wrong thing. We'll never be perfect, but we expect Christians to be real. Again, we're not going to be perfect. But we're going to be real. And this morning, I believe that Samson was real. I know that he messed up. He made mistakes. A lot of times, he didn't do the right thing. But that young lad didn't truly see the real version of Samson. He saw a version of Samson that kind of just was beaten down, was done some wrong things in his life, was hammered, was just, I don't know, just beat down by the world and beat down by a lot, his own doing. I mean, we think about it in the first place, his own sin, he probably would never been in that position in the first place. He would have never got his hair cut off. He would have never been in that area. So he made some mistakes. And that's that version that young lad saw. But I believe that Samson, again, from that grew. And, you know, he's in heaven now today, I believe. And he still was with God. He was a real, true Christian. And it's really a shame that that young lad never really saw that true hero part of Samson. But this morning and today, your kids, people around you, can see the real true hero of Christianity in you. They can see that when you fall and you make mistakes and do the wrong thing, you don't just stay and keep doing that, that you get back right and you're focused on God, and they say, you know what, this is serious, this is true stuff. This is real. Like we gotta stay right with God. This ain't fake. And none of it never will be. So I want to kind of close with a few appealing statements again to kind of parents and kind of just generate, just sum all this up together. Again, your children are holding your hand. Just like that young man held Samson's hand and leading him, you know, to your children, you're their hero. Like you are their everything. Again, like I mentioned here before, they look up to you. It may not even be your children. It may be friends. It may be other family and other places. But you got people that look up to you. They strongly care about you. Like the church in Brooks, you know, I have a bunch of kids just, they're all running around. And like they always say, let's play, let's do this, let's do that. Like, and all these little kids, like, they're looking up to me. They're like they're looking up, and I want to set a good example. I want to be a good example to those kids, because to you that you're their hero. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Be thou an example of the believers," because you got people that are watching you. And the goal is kind of simple: just lead them to Jesus, for them to see Jesus in you in their everyday life, even when you fall, that they see the true repentance of your heart. And finally, we see that this young Philistine was close to a hero, but he was far from God, far from the one true God. He may have been close to his own false God, but that own false God is not going to get you to heaven. Where all one true God will get you there. But being near to God's people, being close to God's people is not ever going to be enough. Knowing Bible stories, knowing your Bible even, is not going to be all enough. We got to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every person must personally trust him. And for believers, especially parents, your responsibility is to live such a life that reflects that to your children, to other little, you know, teenagers, people that are looking up to you, even grown adults. You may have people that are older than you still looking up to you. Again, there's people watching you. So instead of, you know, my prayer this morning will be for someone, instead of going to hell holding a hand of a hero, we can go to heaven holding the hand of Jesus Christ. So let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you again for a great morning that you've given to us, Lord. Again, for the rain, we appreciate, Lord, all the water you've supplied for us. And And we thank you, Lord, for the people you brought here this morning. Lord, I pray you continue to speak through me. Speak to me. You know, Lord, there's just a lot of people in this world today who need you. There are a lot of people who don't know you, and some may be at fault, some may not. But, Lord, there are still a lot of people in this world who need you. Lord, and I pray that we as Christians may just apply you in our hearts every day, Lord, that people may see you through us, and that, Lord, you may be glorified. And if anything else, we don't get a chance to talk to them, Lord, but they'll have an encounter and a relationship through you by just seeing the way we walk and talk and just move around, Lord, that they would see you through everything. Again, we thank you for all you do. Thank you for your Son, most importantly, in the precious blood that was shed on that cross of Calvary. Keep us safe the rest of the day, Lord, and just be with me as I bring your message this morning, Lord. I pray you speak through me, and I pray, Lord, that everybody gets a word from you. In your holy name that I do pray. Amen.